front on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Now, the story of human migration is as old as human civilization itself. For hundreds of years, people have been moving from one place to the other, crossing borders or staying within boundaries. They move for different reasons, but overall, there's an underlying need to find better opportunities. And these are mainly economic opportunities. But there are obviously a myriad of other reasons people migrate. In South Africa, migration from mainly neighboring countries can be traced to the discovery of precious minerals like diamonds and gold. And as the country transformed itself into a modern industrial economy, thousands of Africans from neighboring countries, from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe and others, came in to fill the demands of the labor market. There were, in fact, bilateral agreements between the then apartheid government and neighboring countries that allowed for such type of migration. Now, the result was the South African migrant labor system, which is a whole other conversation. But like anywhere else in the world, the byproduct of such migration into South Africa affected local economies. It affected the social and cultural patterns in these communities that people migrated to. And as people move, their cultural traits and ideas move along with them. And in many cases, they modify or they end up modifying cultural and economic landscapes in places where they end up. But that is not much of a threat until the economic prospects of people in those areas are on the decline. And so the easy scapegoat usually provided by the political leadership is that migrants are to blame for these dwindling economic prospects. So local people start looking at migrants as though they are taking their jobs, that they are taking their resources, and also they are taking their culture. The end point to this is that there will be violence, and there is violence. There has been violence in South Africa that flares up as recent as a couple of weeks ago. And this violence is directed at migrants. They kill them, they burn their shops, they displace them, and generally threaten their livelihood. When this happened a couple of weeks ago, the response around the continent was that of outrage and disbelief that South Africans would kill fellow Africans given the country's history. We all know the history, obviously, we won't go into that. But
some South African leaders say that
it's unfair to take the actions of a few South Africans and attribute them to a population of 50 million, that South Africans are not inherently xenophobic.
They argue that these attacks are not xenophobic, rather, it is some criminal elements in society.
So on the show today, we will look at some of the issues around migration and xenophobia in South Africa, the role of the youth in perpetuating the violence, but also stopping it. And on the show, we'll have some voices of young people in Malawi responding to this issue. We have voices from Uganda and South Sudan speaking on this issue of xenophobia in South Africa. Stay tuned. This Upfront on The Voice of America.
Okay, I personally feel it's horrendous. It's terrible. It's just a disgrace to all the people of African race. And just to think that there are actually South Africans in other countries all over the world, how would they feel if something like this was to be done to them? Why would they want to come and ruin everything that Nelson Mandela fought against?
My thoughts on xenophobic attacks in South Africa is actually so absurd. And I feel it's really so uncalled for. Take a look at Zimbabwe, take a look at Angola, all these citizens who fought with you, you know, with ANC, they helped the ANC to win.
I do believe that any human being has a right to live. So killing one another because he or she has a job that you don't have should be condemned world over.
What I think about xenophobia is, I think everyone is a foreigner somewhere else.
What's taking place is not right, and South Africans, they are our brothers and sisters in Africa. Love to be one people.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Thanks to all of you joining us from wherever you are, whether you're connecting with us online or on radio live. On the show today, we are talking about xenophobia in South Africa, where the country's president condemned attacks on foreign-owned businesses in cities like Johannesburg, Pretoria, and in Durban. President Ramaphosa said, quote, "We're a country that is completely committed against xenophobia, but some of that commitment is questioned
by people, including my next guest, Gamuchirai Gomo, the young professional based in Durban, South Africa. Gomo says that she plans to take a week off from work as this violence continues, violence that targets foreigners like herself. I reached her on phone in Durban.
They were attacking shops, and also they were going door to door to, like, those companies that they know that they are foreigners working. They've been looking for foreigners and probably do whatever they do to them.
Are you worried that you might be attacked?
Yes, I am definitely scared. I won't be going to work this whole week until everything is quiet. I don't care if I lose my job, it's fine, but then I'm not going to go to work.
Do you think your employer will understand that you're staying home because of the fear?
Yeah, he will. Like, he does understand already. Because he was actually the first one who told me about what's going on in town. Then he asked me if I want to go home, and then so you understand me not coming to work.
Are you safe? Do you feel safe in the neighborhoods where you're staying right now?
No, it's safe where I stay. Like, it's out of town, it's quiet, and it's more Indians than blacks, so I don't think they will attack that part of town.
How much of this is part of the conversation, especially with your South African colleagues? What do they think about this?
Okay, I have South African friends. Like, most of them, they are friends, and they don't support this. Like, they will actually protect me if they have to. In situations like this, they will not allow anything to happen to other foreigners.
That was Gamuchirai Gomo. Ms. Gomo is a young professional from Zimbabwe, but currently works in Durban, South Africa. South African police are reporting that there is peace and calm in the central business district of Johannesburg after days of violence and looting. According to a press statement by the Ministry of Police, the army will not be deployed as the situation is under control. South African police spokesperson Vish Naido tells our reporter Blessing Zulu that a lover's quarrel in one of the apartments in Johannesburg sparked the violence that is currently taking place.
The situation regarding the violence and the looting, particularly in the Joburg CBD and surrounding areas, have been restored. The situation has been normalized. It was a spontaneous attack that resulted from a flat that was set alight due to a lover's quarrel. And it seems like criminals, just pure criminals, took advantage of the situation and started to loot and damage property. And of course, now the situation has been restored. We have arrested over 90 people. I think the figure is close to 100 now. And all of these people are facing serious charges. We are hoping to bring them before court by the close of business on Wednesday.
And lastly, Brigadier Naidu, there were some who were calling for the army to be deployed to help the police, saying that the police is failing to contain the situation. Do you think that will be helpful at all?
The situation is already contained. As I said to you, the situation has been normalized and restored to its normality. So there's no need to call in additional security forces.
Vish Naido is the spokesperson for the South African police. He was speaking to Blessing Zulu of the VOA Zimbabwe service. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you just joining us. As we continue with our conversation, let's hear what you have to say.
To think that actually this is not going to happen again, then is to say that corruption is going to stop existing. Corruption stops existing. You're going to stop seeing angry people, angry Africans. So where poverty is, there's always going to be aggression. Where poverty is, there's always going to be fighting for resources. The government of South Africa needs to stand up and empower its local communities. Because these foreigners, no matter how much they are being accused of stealing resources from the locals, they are contributing to the economy of South Africa. They need to be protected.
My name is Andrew Murani from Uganda, Kampala. I feel when foreigners come to your country, they bring business, they create jobs. Ideally, they create business that people can get employed. But not until people wake up from their deep slumbers and learn how to work, this thing will never stop. I think the government should come out strongly and impeach people who really do these kind of demonstrations, because I've been watching some of the videos whereby they are burning someone. They are burning someone on flame. Can you imagine burning a fellow human being as if you're burning rubbish? I think it is something that was very bad and archaic, because you cannot tell me that Kasarian people can gather themselves and begin doing such acts, and there's no police, there's no one that is coming around to help.
Dozens of people have reportedly been arrested in the South African city of Johannesburg after rioters looted shops and torched buildings and vehicles, mostly belonging to foreigners. Police fired tear gas, rubber bullets and stun grenades in an attempt to quell the unrest. My colleague Darren Taylor is in Johannesburg, South Africa.
At the moment, it is mainly concentrated in Johannesburg, although today also saw incidents in Durban, Cape Town, Pretoria. Basically, though, it's here in Johannesburg today. Police really battled to contain the mayhem. They fired rubber bullets at the plunderers. They arrested many people. Now, in the areas that I visited and where the violence happened today, there are rocks, smoldering car tires everywhere. Everywhere you see shell casings from police firearms. There was also a lot of trouble over here in Joburg in the township of Alexandra. Over there, people hurled rocks at businesses that they said were owned by foreigners. They sang songs to the effect that the Makwere Kwere, which is a derogatory term they use to refer to migrants, should leave South Africa or suffer the consequences. From what I've seen on the ground, the looters are indeed targeting businesses owned by foreigners. However, once the mob mentality takes over, it's sort of open season, so to speak, and the crowds loot South African stores as well and also attack and assault South Africans.
So is there maybe criminality added to all this?
I don't think, despite what the government says, there can be any doubt that foreigners are being targeted. But from what I've seen, there's definitely criminals that hijack the situation and take advantage and start looting, etc., etc. From what I've seen, there definitely is an element of xenophobia involved. And, you know, what we're dealing with here in South Africa is that every few months, foreigners who are present in our cities in big numbers get blamed for the fact that locals don't have access to resources, that locals are still poor, etc., etc. It's easy to blame the foreigners. It's easy to target them rather than addressing the root causes of these problems. We are dealing with a much bigger problem in South Africa, and that is the failure of the government to create opportunities for everyone.
That's VOA's Darren Taylor reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa.
My people waiting the chalet, you listen to Jackson Bonganyi for Upfront with the For Voice of America.
In case you're just joining us, we're discussing the issue of xenophobia, the recent flare-up of xenophobia in the country. Over the years, we've reported on this issue as it happens in different cities in South Africa. We're trying to figure out some of the underlying causes of this type of situation, this type of violence. Obviously, has been condemned widely by African leadership, by Western leadership, including in South Africa. But we know South Africa hosts millions of migrants from around the world. So the question is, why are victims, the victims of these xenophobic attacks, mostly African? And to try and figure this out, I reached out to Lauren Landau, previously the South African Research Chair in Human Mobility and founding chair of the African Center for Migration and Society at Wits University in Johannesburg. Landau's work explores human mobility, citizenship, and development.
I think what's important to realize is that it's not just about immigration and it's not just about Africans. The vast majority of immigrants coming into South Africa are from neighboring countries, from Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Lesotho. But the attacks have not only been against them, but also people from, particularly from South Asia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, India. But importantly, we've also seen attacks against other South Africans, people who are of the wrong, you know, speak the wrong language, or the wrong ethnic group, even the wrong political party. So it's not just an immigration issue, but the vast majority of the victims have been immigrants from other African countries.
And this is not the first time it has happened. So what are some of the underlying causes of this type of flare-up in violence over the past couple of years that we've seen it?
Right. I mean, since 1994, when South Africa sort of ended apartheid and became free and democratic, we've seen attacks, some quite scattered, and then periods of more intense violence since then. The causes are varied. Some of them relate to underlying attitudes about foreigners and outsiders. It's a distrustful and divided country due to its history. But more particularly, it has to do with how governance is, works at a local level. People are competing for scarce resources. There's a government, police, and others who are seeking legitimacy. And there's a great deal of scapegoating and mobilization against foreigners as a way of building political power or avoiding criticism for policies that have failed to make poor South Africans any less poor.
Politicians have consistently demonized foreigners and some in a way blame them for some of the crime rates, you know, spreading of disease and things of that nature. Are foreigners kind of an easy scapegoat for politicians in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you see in South Africa is something that we see worldwide, you know, that immigrants are often seen as undermining labor, undermining rights, and politicians have used that to try to distract attention. And you see that at a national level, increasingly at the national level, but it's been even more so at the local level, where they're blamed for the shortage of housing, they're blamed for crime, they're blamed for pretty much anything that's negative in the country.
Has this current flare-up been any different from the ones we've seen in the past, either in the response or in the magnitude?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's most distinctive about the attacks that have happened over the last few weeks is that they've moved into the city centers, whereas before they were largely in the poor townships and to some extent largely invisible to the media and to the middle class. What I think we've seen that's most disturbing about the response this time is while the police have been quick and the government leaders have been quick to respond and say the violence is not acceptable, the response has been flavored by what you could be described as xenophobia itself, a sort of argument that the reason these attacks are happening is because there are too many immigrants. And over the last day, we've started to see the results of that, which are the police rounding up immigrants and starting deportation, simply saying the gangs were right, there are too many here, and they need to be taken care of.
In a recent speech by Jacob Zuma, President Jacob Zuma of South Africa, accused other African countries of not taking care of their own people. And I feel like there's no sense of ownership for the violence that is happening in South Africa by the political leadership, the top political leadership in South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've said that there is violence and that they've argued that, well, South Africa is a violent country and to some extent foreigners are just getting caught up in it and denying that this is something that's particularly aimed at them. But now that it's become evident that there is a sort of xenophobic strain to this violence, there has been an effort to, yes, make this into an immigration issue, to absolve themselves of responsibility, rather than saying, look, this is the problem of governance. The number of immigrants are not that great. They're great in some areas, but rather to say, look, immigration, the solution to this is not solving our problems, improving the police, improving security, but the problem to this is shutting our borders. And that doesn't work. It's never worked for anyone, but that seems to be the approach they're taking.
Is there an understanding of how many migrants from Africa currently reside in South Africa?
Well, we have the same statistics that the government has, which suggests that about 4% of the population, which is about 2 million people, are in the country. That's people who've been born outside the country, which includes South African citizens, but it's primarily people from nearby, which is a very small percentage of the population. What's important, though, is that they cluster in very particular areas, and it's often in those areas where the violence is happening.
Migration, including here in the U.S., migrants are accused of coming in and not assimilating and not being part of the larger system and instead creating little enclaves of their own little communities. Is that something that is happening in South Africa too? Of migrants from different parts of Africa, do they come in and live in like in a specific place?
Well, the vast majority of the African immigrants are from Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Many of them speak a language that's similar or identical to South African languages, and they can largely pass as locals or almost pass as locals. What we do see, though, is particularly Somalis, Ethiopians, and, of course, people from other continents, whether they're Chinese or from South Asia, who don't integrate so well or are not able to integrate so well. And there has been resentment against them, like you say, in the United States, where they're seen as being aloof or outside or unconcerned with local politics. But of course, that's no justification for the kind of violence that we've seen.
Now, there's been talk that one of the biggest instigators to this current violence was King Goodwill Zwelithini, who's a Zulu king.
Well, no, I mean, it was the comments that he made were said in a meeting in Zulu, which I unfortunately don't speak. Mm. But I have been, I listened to the speech and to the translation, and it's very clear he echoed language that we've heard a lot on the streets, calling immigrants lice or fleas, and suggesting that they needed to be removed. He's not the only one to have made statements like that, but of course, when you're in a position of authority like that, people tend to pay more attention than they would otherwise.
But is he being a mouthpiece of some larger dissatisfaction in the community, in society? Are immigrants truly taking jobs away from South Africans?
Well, I think he is being a mouthpiece for a broader sentiment, and he's certainly not, as I said, not the first to express that. It doesn't mean, however, that those sentiments are valid. While there is competition in some sectors, and migrants definitely outcompete South Africans for some jobs, all of the evidence that we have from our research suggests that that's a very small number of people who've been put out of work, and it's a number that's compensated for by the number of businesses that migrants start with, the kind of skills that they bring to businesses, which allow them to expand and hire other people. What you reap is what you sow. The youth them are the light and the future, so when
that's them, you know. If education is the key. I think that the xenophobic attacks in South Africa are a cowardly criminal diversion from the real problems affecting South Africa. The people's issues are not being heard, and they are lashing out at the foreigners, whom they are currently blaming for everything going wrong in the country. Xenophobic attacks are because of a failing economic system that doesn't favor the local people.
This is not a question for South Africa alone. It is a question for the entire continent, because we cannot be turning against each other. Instead of supporting each other, we are pushing each other down. When I look at South Africa right now, it is not the rainbow nation that years back the entire Africa rallied behind to condemn, to fight against apartheid. So when I look at it from a point of a young African who has dreams of traveling Africa, of looking for opportunities, empowering this continent, it doesn't give me hope.
My name is Marvis. I'm a former journalist.
We reported earlier,
I was in for over 5 years. This is what I think of this xenophobic attacks in South Africa. They are wrong. They are taking it out on the wrong people. They should organize protests. They should organize other ways, peaceful ways of showing the government that why can you not empower us so we can run businesses.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you for joining us. I'm in Washington, D.C. Nadia Sam is in Johannesburg, South Africa. Bongani Mtetwa is a reporter for the Sunday Times in Durban, South Africa. He has covered this specific issue quite extensively also. He was called on by his paper to report on the xenophobic attacks that as soon as they started in his area. He says that migrants in general in South Africa live, coexist with local South Africans. So, Bongani, when did you start covering this story?
We started covering it as soon as it broke out in one part of Durban, which is called Isipingo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the south of
And Durban. Is this something that was in the works and it was a spontaneous breakout of violence?
No, it was a spontaneous breakout of violence, and everybody was caught by surprise, as I indicated to you earlier. When we had xenophobic attacks in 2008, we thought that was the last. that we would see of them. So it caught everybody by surprise. No one was expecting that it could start.
What is the population of migrants in your area? And here we are talking about Durban, that's where you are, right?
Yeah, I don't have the population offhand, but we've got many foreign nationals who are residing in Durban, who are from various African countries.
Okay.
As far as the Democratic Republic of Congo and Nigeria.
And who are the main perpetrators of this? Because there's a feeling outside of South Africa that it was widespread.
Yeah, I will totally agree with the president. It was this time around, it was not as widespread as it was in 2008, where even though the epicenter was Johannesburg and then it spread across the country. This time around, it started in Durban and it's spread to only sections of Gauteng and didn't go as far as other provinces in the country. From what I hear is that the problem was sparked by a particular employer who, when workers went on strike in Isipingo area, he decided to employ some foreign nationals to do the work, and then that is what sparked this whole thing.
Okay, so local South Africans felt that they were being marginalized in favor of foreign nationals, and that foreign nationals are willing to work for less money and also willing to kind of undermining their struggle to for better employment prospects.
Yeah, and you would understand that that happens against the backdrop of the fact that there is deep resentment within some communities that foreign nationals are taking their jobs, which is not entirely true. And as I indicated, that the other problem that we have is that in South Africa there is a high rate of unemployment. So there is a competition of resources. So there is a feeling that some employers in South Africa, they would rather prefer foreign nationals because there is also a perception that South Africans are lazy, they don't want to work. But foreign nationals, are always willing to do whatever job, no matter how menial that job is and no matter how bad the pay may be.
Okay. And so what happened to the other foreign nationals, other migrants in that area after these attacks?
Some are still being kept at refugee camps, which have been set up by government. In Durban, there are about three camps. One is in Chatsworth, one is in Isipingo, the epicenter of these xenophobic attacks, and north of Durban in a place called Verulam. Some of them, especially Malawians, they want to go back to their own country. But some still want to continue staying in South Africa, even though they are still scared.
Are you saying that life has gotten back to normal in these areas and some foreign nationals have begun to reopen their business and are operating normally?
Especially in the city of Durban, they are operating normally. And those who are running some kind of smaller businesses, they are back at work. I had an interview with some guys from the DRC who are back at work, even though they still have some degree of safety, but of fear about their safety. Yeah, but they are back. They are back at work.
What about justice for those whose lives were lost and property destroyed? Are they bringing people to book for having committed these crimes?
Yeah, there are people who have already been arrested for these crimes. As you know, that sometimes the slow pace of justice might be too slow. But there are people, for example, in the case of Masitole, the Mozambican national who was knifed in
Johannesburg. Yes, Sitole, yes.
Yes. Yeah, for people who were responsible for his murder, I have already been arrested and have appeared in court. The matter was postponed. I can't remember offhand to which particular date. But those are behind others. And there are a number of people who have been arrested in connection with these attacks. Normally, as I also indicated to you, many South Africans are not inherently xenophobic. We live side by side with foreign nationals without any problem. And many of them could attest to that as well.
Bongani Mtetwa in Durban, South Africa. Bongani, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Okay, thanks very much.
And on that note, we come to the end of the show today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to contribute to the show. Our email is upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. You can also follow our social media pages on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, among others. We'll catch you next time, same time, right here on The Voice of America. Goodbye. Taking a hold on me. I need a one dance. Got an NFC in my hand.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene.